Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to Express Your Flavor, Step to the Mic with your host, Letty Flavor. I'm sorry, I thought that an intro was getting ready to come on, but that did not happen. So I hope everybody's doing well tonight. I hope that you've had a great day, and I hope there are folks out there that are ready to come on the line and express your flavor. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. The only thing that I ask for is that you don't use too much foul language and that you don't do any bashing of any particular group. Otherwise, this is open mic for all genres, spoken word, poetry, hip-hop, you know, R&B. I was contacted by several artists, so I'm hoping that they will call in and express their flavor on tonight's segment of Express Your Flavor, Step to the Mic. I'm going to get into a piece while we're waiting for callers to call in. This is one of the artists that performed at my open mics, you know, in the beginning, almost every week. But he definitely performed whenever he was able to. He was one of the first hosts for the open mics at Flavor Coffee House. And this is 6 Deep the Messenger with his piece, Prayer for Strength.
Down on my knees, yelling please, calling Jesus, begging, don't let him hurt me no more. No answers to my pleas, no release, ill at ease, wondering what the hell I keep fighting for. Is it all worth dying for? Struggling and striving, barely staying alive, in body and soul aching all the time. Gotta fight this sinking feeling, my brain is steadily reeling, pain is to the ceiling, I'm about to lose my mind. I struggle day to day to make ends meet, be a father to my children, love them, keep them clothed and enough food to eat. Beyond the everyday, however, a bigger picture lies before me. A higher goal, a larger responsibility is upon me. My destiny to be the voice of change to my brethren, a beacon of light shining on the dark path of progression. Father, teacher, guide, leader, mentor, all of these are my profession. And yet, as mere human, I struggle day to day with my own individual frailties.
I'm only human.
From time to time, the truth of my own humanity lies heavily upon me, stooping my shoulders and questioning my resolve. The myriad whispers of past failures taunting me, haunting me.
You can't do that. Who do you think you are?
Causing me to question the abilities within me. You can't win. You'll never make it. Who do you think you are? Quit trying. They can't take it. Just live for the house and cars.
Get your money, boy.
Down on my knees, yelling please, calling Jesus, begging, don't let him hurt me no more. No answers to my pleas, no release, ill at ease, wondering
somebody
what the hell
me.
I keep fighting for? Is it all worth dying for? With struggle comes success. With pain comes healing. With striving comes life. Words that I try to live by, I try. But there are those times when all I want to do is hide in a corner and cry. I mean, just curl up and die. It's hard out here in this dog-eat-dog world wherein we live, where pictures paint you as weak, for compassion or the capacity to give. Here where the perpetuation of kill or be killed prevails at even the smallest of levels. Chaos created by not one but many devils. And who am I to try to challenge the very foundation by which an entire nation has been constructed? When I could just conform, stay plugged into the matrix, tube-fed a serum that I know is corrupted. This weight is oftentimes nearly unbearable, the gift and equal curse of sight when so many are blind. Even still, some who are not blind but thrive on the lust for power to the point of no concern for the future of mankind.
How would that be?
Why try? Just enjoy your small piece of the pie. Let it be what it is. Is it really worth the chance that you might die?
Well, is it?
Down on my knees, yelling please, calling Jesus, begging. Don't let 'em hurt me no more. No answers to my pleas, no release, ill at ease, wondering what the hell I keep fighting for. Is it all worth dying for? The answer to this, God has tasked me with this fate, to be among those chosen to lead the people into the light of change. An age-old wrong must be righted. A divisive pattern of thought must be rearranged. Darkness' cloak must be exchanged for the bright light of positive progress. No more egress of morality. No more minds left in despair and distress. Humanity, become truly human and realize why you were blessed with intellect. Give unity a try. Treat your neighbor with love and respect. It's time for us all to truly come correct. Give our children a healthy legacy to follow. Heed these words, no more war. Make them real and no longer hollow. Leave something in store for our seed to give them a chance for tomorrow. Show them a real reason for smiles and laughter, not just pain and sorrow. Mankind, the choice is yours. Will you allow hatred and greed to reign? Will you continue to allow the streets to be blood-stained? Are you ready for change? Down on my knees, yelling please, calling Jesus, begging. Don't let 'em hurt me no more.
Each one.
No answers to my pleas.
Bear
no release, ill at ease, wondering.
Will you take your
what
rightful
the hell
place
I keep fighting
in
for?
This. New
is it all worth dying
world.
For? Is it all worth dying for?
All right, that was Six Deep, the messenger out of the Pacific Northwest with his piece called Prayer for Strength. The first time that I saw this gentleman perform on stage, I was in awe. And never guessed that he would become a regular performer and host at Slava Coffee House for my open mic. So he is a true blessing, you know, to me. He is a true blessing to those who have ever experienced any of the pieces that he has created. And I'm hoping one day, I've asked him, and he said that he would. I'm hoping one day he will actually call into the show and spit live and allow me to share him with all of you. There's so many people here in the Pacific Northwest that I talk about, I brag about, I play on my shows. And I've asked them, so I'm hoping, you know, I wish there was a way that I could really, really hold them too, you know, and making a call in. But, you know, I know that a lot of people have busy schedules and all of that. So with that said, I want to welcome everybody that's listening live, to those that are in the chat room. And then to those that do come back and listen to the show in the archives, welcome to Express Your Flavor, Step to the Mic. This is an all-genre open mic. Anybody is welcome to call in. I ask that you do not use foul language, and I ask that there be no bashing of any particular group of people. I can go into all the reasons that I feel that way, but I can imagine that you understand that already. I'm going to play another piece by another artist out of the Pacific Northwest. She sent me some new tracks, and she said that one of these Wednesdays she definitely will call into the show and sing for us live. I don't know if she'll have an opportunity tonight to do so, but this is Tiffany Wilson, and this is her track, Second Guess.
I wonder why I say it this way.
was Miss Tiffany Wilson with her piece, Second Guess. I have not met her in person, but she is somebody that I have known about for many, many years, played at my coffee house, and I have connections with her, you know, by email, online. As I said in last week's show, she has been traveling, performing on a cruise line ship, and just not that long ago has recently returned home to Seattle, Washington. But, you know, once she got off that boat, man, she's been out there performing at all kinds of venues and even open mics. And I look forward to the opportunity of meeting her in person, to also having her come and share her flavor on Express Your Flavor, Step to the Mic. Again, if there's anybody out there listening live that would like to call in and share a piece or two, feel free to do so. The number is 347-857-1189. I'm going to jump into a track of an artist that I've had the pleasure of meeting just this past month. This is The Dubber. He came to Seattle, Washington, all the way of South Carolina, Washington, D.C. area, and I got an opportunity to hear him perform this piece live, With a Feeling, by The Dubber.
Thank you.
All right, that was the dubber, amazing singer, songwriter, and acoustic guitar player out of South Carolina by way of Washington, D.C. And as I was saying, before I played this track, I had the pleasure of actually meeting him and hearing him perform that particular piece live here in Seattle, Washington. What a blessing that was to have that opportunity to sit and listen to him live and get to meet this man that I've been connected with for so many years online, and now having the opportunity to say that I've met him face to face. I'm going to play a piece by a dear friend of mine. He, you know, I rave about him. I tell and have no problem saying how much I love him dearly as my friend. You know, he held me down at Flavor Coffee House and was there supporting me through thick and thin. And this is my dear friend, Alvin Lloyd Alexander Horn, and this is his piece, The First Time I Heard My Mama Cry.
The day I saw my mama cry, skipping home from school, stopping at the corner store, I have one penny for penny candy, and taffy chews forever. Hopscotch over the cracks in the sidewalk, a child's made to step on a crack and break your mama's back, told her not to cut through the park. Stopped at the park anyway. Swung high next to the girl on the other swing. Ooh, I saw your panty. Bet you can't swing as high as me. I had better get home before I have to pull a switch from a tree and have my little behind tan. Besides, I'm hungry for some canned salmon and some government cheese. So I bound up the stairs like my hero, Superman. I run through the door like my other hero, the Rifleman. I look around the corner as if I'm Tonto, scouting for my friend, the Lone Ranger. Tonto, even though he wasn't a real Indian, he was the darkest person on TV I can see myself in. I found my fair maiden, my Negro mama. See, she wasn't a black woman yet. James Brown had that song, I'm Black and I'm Proud. It was November 25th, 1963. I found my mama crying. It was the first time I can remember my mama crying. Black and white, rabbit at reception. There are only four channels, all showing horses pulling a carriage. An American flag draped. Mama sits with her face in her hands, leaning forward. Tears run into her hands like a cup being filled from a faucet. She sees me and her head don't turn. Her eyes shift away. What wrong, Mama? I say. I sit up straight next to her. I want to be your hero, just like little John F. Kennedy Jr., who salutes his soon-to-be-buried daddy. But it's too much for me to see my mama cry. I start to cry. It's the first time I remember my mama cry.
That was Alvin Lloyd Alexander's Horn with his track, The First Time I Saw My Mama Cry. And again, he's a very, very dear friend of mine, an amazing spoken word artist, stand-up bass and six-string bass guitar player, keyboardist, and, you know, author right here in the Pacific Northwest. You can find out more about him at www.romanticblues.com. His book that he has out presently is called Brush Strokes. So, again, if there's anybody that is listening live that would like to call in and share a piece or two, please feel free to do so. The number is 347-857-1189. Otherwise, I'm just going to have my own little open mic with a variety of artists that have sent me tracks from right here in my hometown of Seattle, Washington, to around the globe. This piece is by an amazing writer. When I put a blast out during the holidays that I wanted to create 6 baskets for the kids that I work with at Friends of Youth. I work with at-risk homeless youth. This artist sent me 6 CDs to be able to put into those gift baskets to give my kids. This is Fleece Voice with her piece called Modern Day Black Mama.
Modern Day Black Mama. Who is she? Who is the modern day black mama? Originally free, torn from Africa, groomed into an American slave. Somebody saw through her dark skin their American dream. A cultural genocide stripped her authenticity, her family broken by greed. Self-identity, family values, and traditions she struggled to hold. Freedom for her family, freedom they got. For those who wanted it scattered abroad. Living Afro-Euro, holding on to the Underground Railroad, Negro mother's dream. The modern-day black mama, who is she today? She is the thriving, successful businesswoman, the career mother struggling with corporate racism. She's mama and daddy sometimes rolled in one. She's the songstress longing for a hit solo, trying to sing away her blues. But procrastination redirects her dreams. She's the divorcee looking for romance. Her mental baggage is too heavy to embrace new relationships. Mama is the beauty shop gossip queen, braiding, weaving, pressing and perming hair, chatting with clients she hopes will continue to bring in the revenues. She's the waitress in the restaurant, the cashier at the local grocer's, the banker who cashes your neighbor's paychecks, rejected by a society who says she ain't pretty enough, ain't light enough, ain't dark enough, too fat, too thin, hair ain't straight or kinky enough. Unpolished English. You know, the fictitious beauty queen we ain't gonna never see. She's the mother who shuffles between work and welfare, struggling to find herself in a world that does not understand. She's the mother living in the projects. She ain't got enough money to pay rent on her own. Working, getting letters in the mail saying your bills are still past due. She's the mother who frequents juvenile courts to rescue her rebellious son. She's the modern-day black mama who arrives to the church house seeking answers to her problems and consolation from the Word of God. Sanity, cancer, AIDS, she's still fighting, pushing for her life. She is the personification of the ghetto queen, a leader in her community, with painted acrylic nails, hairstyles, fashions, and figures that become a phenomenon. She's the one with the fancy church hat, with a decor of diamonds and gold on hands that labored for years. She's the bus driver, the construction worker, even the postman, the police officer, and the judge who must jail their own. She is the MBA entrepreneur with an empire of ideas. The single-parent reentry student starting over. Parenting demanded her attention in her teen years. She's the teacher who empowers the mind. The actress fighting for her role. The doctor, the lawyer who graduated with honors and credentials to carry her to the top. The first lady whose skin tone they ain't never seen as the prime time speaker stretched center stage of America. She's the minister trying to save your soul. The activist pounding on your door saying vote for your rights. She is the dancer who will never grace the stage of an audience. She lost her dance along the way. She's the prostitute trying to escape an environment she's addicted to. The drug addict, the thief who got lost trying to find her way. She's the mama who's been abused as a small child, damaged and prone to domestic violence relationships. She's the one with the mental problem, now a government responsibility. The one holding it all together, fighting for both of your lives. She's the one reaching out, pulling you back and begging you to stop and listen. She's the first person the neighbors, relatives, school officials, and police call when our sons fall into trouble. I wondered if you knew the modern day Black Mama.
That was Miss Fleece Boyce with her piece, The Modern Day Black Mama. That was powerful, wasn't it? Man, you know, the first time I heard this piece, I was, you know, I was just sitting there and having a great appreciation for just even my own self. You know, the things, we all come with a story. You know, we all come with strengths and even weaknesses. But in those weaknesses, we can even find strength. And you can find more about Fleece Boyce at the Modern Day Black Mama. Mama is spelled MOMMA.com. And I really would encourage you to support this particular artist. You know, she's doing great things. She's reaching out and touching, you know, souls. And I very much appreciate and, you know, respect her flavor. So again, that was Fleece Boyce with her piece, The Modern Day Black Mama. I'm going to jump into another piece by a very, very dear friend of mine. This is G. Wright, gospel recording artist out of Washington, D.C. When I first encountered him, he was actually living in Atlanta, Georgia. But this is G. Wright with his piece, I Pray.
People are hurting, people are searching, without hope in sight. Where you are, our guiding light. You've taught us just how to pray, and Father, we need you this day. We fall on our knees to say a prayer. It changes things.
Just pray
for our name.
Just pray
for salvation.
Just pray
for deliverance.
Just pray.
Oh, oh. Just pray for our sister.
Just pray
for our brother.
Just pray.
We need to pray. Just pray. If we focus on you, there's nothing we can undo. We can make a change. It starts with me. It starts with you. Yeah. For our nation. For salvation. For deliverance.
Just pray.
show love to every woman, man, and child.
That's right.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
Right.
Oh.
That's real.
Search our hearts and souls right now.
Do you
really have a peace of mind? It doesn't take much to show we can. Open your mind.
That was G. Wright out of Washington, D.C. with his piece called Just Pray. I do see you, caller from the 610. I'll pick you up your line here in a few minutes. But I think that I'm going to go ahead and step to the mic myself and read a piece. I don't consider myself a poet or a writer, but from time to time I have tried to write some things. Back in the day of Flavor Coffee House, I attempted a little bit more, and I guess it was because face-to-face I came in contact with so many poets and spoken word artists. So I'm going to actually read two pieces, if you don't mind. This piece, the first piece that I'm going to read is a piece that I wrote while sitting at my coffee house, just waiting. And this piece is called I Hear. I hear the sounds of the traffic during the morning rush while listening to smooth jazz, brewing some coffee to start the day. I hear the sighs of frustration walking and stepping into my door, winding down in hopes of a peaceful evening amongst the stars. I hear the sounds of the phone ringing with a voice I want to hear, asking how I'm doing, how was my day, let me know one cares, feeling that I matter. I hear the sounds of conversation, always greeting each other, at times laughter, tones of challenge, but feelings of a sense that they belong. I hear the sounds of mic checks, music playing, footsteps and voices coming through the doors in anticipation of the sharing that will take place in this space. I hear the quiet when all that is heard are the sounds that I make along with the mechanics of devices around me, sometimes causing me discomfort, while other times bringing me peace. I hear the sounds of my choice of music. When getting in my Beetle, heading home at night, stopping to say my prayers for a safe journey to my final destination. I hear my child moving around our home, sometimes happy, other times with frustrations, feeling all the time that she is safe within those walls. I hear my father's wisdom, from his voice and conversations to the memories of time spent together, needing to always hear his voice, today, tomorrow, forever. Soon I will hear the cry of my grandchild, holding the small one in my arms, wanting to bring the comfort with my heart and voice, showing that this special bundle of joy is loved, while making the noises that only a grandmother can make. I hear the sounds of my heart, what beats with strength of my warriors, the rhythm changing in the tears that flow within, playfulness bringing a tune of its own, smiles of joy and love causing my heart to skip a beat. I hear you in the quiet of the moments we share, no words spoken, still communicating, knowing all is fine with you. Take the time to listen and explore what you hear. You might be surprised. I hear. Sorry about getting a little bit choked up there. I guess I didn't realize that was going to make me emotional, but I kind of miss Flavor Coffee House, so I appreciate you all indulging me and allowing me to bring her back to life here online with Express Your Flavor, Step to the Mic. I miss my daddy. He has been in my life my whole life, and he lives in Colorado now. And my grandbaby, Kimora, you know, she's now two. And that little girl is my heart and joy. So anyway, with that said, that is my piece I hear. Before I bring in Lady Blue, I'm going to read this other piece since I have the courage to do so. This is a piece that I wrote recently. It kind of was about the fact of me being the artist cheerleader and what I do through Flavor News. And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I have frustrations around, you know, doing what I do. And I question, you know, the fact, should I continue this and is it worthwhile? So this is called My Passion. My passion is you, driving me to get up in the morning, taking me to sleep at night, even coming to me in my dreams, having conversations in my head. You are my passion, pushing to learn you and understand, finding ways to better serve you, shining light in all you do, trying to never let the batteries die, stars twinkle all around you. I have a passion. Sometimes people think that I'm crazy. At times they feel I waste my time. You deserve my energy, or do you? 2468, who do we appreciate? At times passion is wrenched in my back, trying to straighten me up, yearning to see the light. Piles and piles of paper weigh me down, hidden under uncertainty. Do my efforts really matter? You are my passion, scribing the words in my heart. Sparkles fill my eyes as I sway to what my soul feels for you, missing steps in between the cadence, tripping over notes, and melodies go on. Passion, I try and I try to get your attention, or is it their attention? Feeling like I do things the right way, my efforts never cease, flowing in waterfalls into my empty stream of pure nothing. I cry out for you, passion. Hey, remember me? I'm your cheerleader, the cheerleader waving flags of flavor, screaming out your talents. Dear passion, tell me that you love me just as much as I love you. Tell me that you believe in my purpose for your life. Show me that none of the floating clouds pass by without recognition. The breeze tells the whole truth. My passion, you are my excitement, filling me with the energy of 5 hours, no rest today. For there is the multitudes to be fed. Allow me to share your bread of life with them. Hey, passion, lights, cameras, action. Do your thing, do your thing, do your thing. Show the world that smile of melody of memories and one that keeps me pinned to your hip, never swaying even in the question. Look, passion, today is the day. Recognize you need me. I help give you life outside of yourself, taking you places that your feet never travel. You are my passion. You let me be yours too. Bound between my passion, your passion, our passion, their passion, tomorrow's passion, my passion. And that's my piece. So with that said, I bring in Miss Lady Blue.
With that said, I'd like to know, what would make you a poet? What would make you a poet? I'm curious.
I don't know. You know, I try, you know, and, it, you know, I think that my use of words isn't where I would like it to be, you know.
Find a poet whose words are. Different poets have different voices. Like, I can't write like Shambay.
You know what I mean? Or tell a story like Bomani. You know, everybody's got their own voice. You know, I look for big words sometimes because I think my stuff is too simple, and then I don't like it. You know,
right?
It's just as long as people understand. To me, I don't know. As long as the feelings come across or the message comes across, I don't know what makes a poet. I don't claim nothing. I tell people I write. You know, I'm a writer. Because I'm not into the academics of poetry. I don't study it. I just feel it. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, somebody would challenge me. If you're not reading a whole lot of other poets, then this is you're not growing and you're not learning and you're not a poet and blah, 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 blah. But I just feel like if you can get a point across and express a feeling and somebody can connect with it, you know, especially now since it's free verse, you know what I mean?
You're right.
You know, I think you write well. I really do. And even the fact that when you were talking about your granddaughter, is that the only one? The 2 years?
I have two granddaughters that are 2 years old.
Both of them are two? Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're two. Uh-huh. Yeah, one's by my son and one's by my daughter.
Okay, I have one great-grand is two, and the granddaughter that lives with me is two. But when you were talking about it and you got choked up, it's like, poetry is so writing. I say poetry, but writing is so therapeutic for me. That's why I didn't share it, because it was for me, you know. And then when I found other people could relate, you know, I kind of opened up more. And then a little more and a little more, you know what I mean? But I think it's all about getting people. That's what I try to do with the kids, to try to get them in touch with feelings so they could write it out, to get it out of them, you know? Because sometimes when you keep stuff in, you know, good or bad, it just doesn't do your body good, you know?
Right.
I thoroughly enjoy both pieces. You know, like, what would make her a poet? you gotta ask the academians on that one. You know what? Because I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what would make her a poet. Then, if she's not a poet, what would make her one? I guess your confidence would make you one. Will you claim it?
Well, and that's one thing I guess that's where I lack. You know, because I've sat, you know, in front of some of the best in Seattle, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, you know, and sat and watched their face and their body, you know, as they read these pieces. And I just sit there with my mouth open, you know, and in between making coffee drinks and stuff, I always kind of sat like right next to the stage, you know, and, you know, I was so appreciative and so
from the people you brought on.
You know, it's just like, I don't have the confidence, and I don't have the confidence in my delivery, you know, and using my voice, you know, the way that I would like it to come across and stuff. But, you know, I thought, okay, what the heck, you know?
Yeah,
nobody's calling in tonight, so why not? Why not just go ahead? Nobody's looking at me.
And that's what we try to tell people when they call into my show. It's like, call in to my show. It's like talking on the phone. Can't nobody see you? And if you really get nervous, hang up.
Right.
Hang up.
Exactly. Don't
nobody know where you live. Now they don't even show your face no more. Remember before they used to show your face? Now they don't even show your face.
Right.
Sign on with another name, you know, next time.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell my kids all everything, anything, just to get them to call in, and they still don't. But I haven't given up. And again, there's going to be artists that are just going to intimidate you. You know, there are certain people that I would hate to go on behind, or there's some people I wouldn't even work with, not because I don't like their stuff, and then there's some people that I wouldn't want to be on the same billet with them, because it's like I just think they're so awesome that if I came behind them, I would bore the people to death, and if I went before them, they would be so anxious to hear the person that's going behind me that they wouldn't hear me.
Okay, now you need to stop. I know you're sitting here talking about me.
No, so there's always, there's someone that, you know, that I think they motivate you. You know, someone that motivates
right.
you as well as can be kind of intimidating, you know. But,
well,
no,
my last piece, the one that I called
fashion.
You know, my passion, Spicy, she actually pushed me. She's like, Flavor, you know, I want you to write a piece, you know, or whatever. Mm. And she wanted to write a collab with me. That's what I ended up sending her. And, you know, I have no idea what Spicy thought about it because she didn't, you know, say anything after I sent it to her. But so I guess maybe I should thank Miss Spicy Reeve for pushing me to.
Spicy is so encouraging.
Out of
she really is encouraging. And that's probably what she wanted you to do was a piece. Period. But that's so
interesting.
She encouraged a lot of people to even just call in. She'd say, if I could do it, you could do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's very
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
now,
I had a whole slew of people that sent me messages saying that they were going to call in tonight. So, you know, I know folk get busy and this and that. So I do appreciate you, Lady Blue, hanging out with me along with Omani and Down South George Girl and everybody that's listening live. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit low energy today and kind of been under the weather with my arthritis and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, do I really have to do the show? I was like, well, can I get out of it? But, you know, I have this thing when it comes to, you know, me saying that I'm going to do something, I just got to do it. So here I am. And so I appreciate all of you being here with me.
Well, you know what? I told Bomani today, I just haven't been enjoying the shows as much as I used to. And I was like kind of fiending today. And I said, I was even thinking about doing a show just to play some stuff. And then I looked and I was in my car. And half the time I'm in my car, you know, I don't play music or nothing. Or if I do, it's meditative music. I just kind of like relax. It's kind of like my quiet time because I don't have quiet time. So the girl was hunting and I found I forgot I had even downloaded this. And I found a tape of his that I had downloaded from something he had sent me. And I put it in and I was just playing it. And I've heard the pieces before, but by it being in the car and not being distracted, you know, from listening on the show and all that kind of stuff, I really, really got to hear him. And it was, you know, I told you about the friend that's dying. So it was from coming to see her, too. It just kind of put me in another space, and I was like, wow. And I just kind of longed to hear a poetry show today that had that caliber of poetry on it, and I didn't find one. You know, I stopped over at April Sims' show last minute. I remember that today was Wednesday. I can't keep up with stuff, and then I did something. I didn't know how to get to her WAGTI. I went on Blog Talk, and they didn't have a chat room, so I didn't know what was going on. But at any rate, I got to hear a little bit on her show. You know, I didn't hear anybody call in, but she, like yourself, had some people that she could play that was good. And I was just like, oh, I need to go to bed, and I got some stuff to do. And then I went to check my email and saw your thing. I need these reminders because I forget. I was like, oh, wow. So I got all excited. And I said, I want to do a prose piece. And don't you know I couldn't find it? And I was like panicking. But when I pulled it out, it's a long piece, so I just was going to give you some of it. But it's an excerpt from something called A Whole Lifetime Ago. And I got pictures and everything with it. And it's so old. I started it back in 2004, I revised it in 2005, and then I revised it again in 2006, and it's still sitting in my computer. And I got pictures and everything to go with it, but I'm like, all right, I want to read this. So And this picture, and I know when I took this picture, people must have thought I was crazy, but it's a lot of snow, and it's just a little scrawny piece of something coming up out of the snow, like a little branch or something. And I had to climb over this little fence to take the picture of this. And I know people's like, what is wrong with that lady taking the picture of that little tree, scrawny tree? But here goes the piece. It says, poor black folks in Harlem were like stringy trees. Some of us trees could not withstand the battering of the seasons of life. And some of us bent, and some of us just kept getting cut down and pruned until we grew. That was what life was like being poor and black in Harlem. Being a girl, I felt like a tree planted on the sidewalk under snow. Guys had other issues. We girls had to be strong as a mule, hard as nails, while being sweet as candy and soft as cotton. Life was hard, confusing, lonely, and strangely interesting. It was interesting trying to grow in soil so hard the roots could not breathe and the sun and moisture rarely penetrated. As a child, I'd heard the stories of the jazz and good times in Harlem, the clubs, the music, the fun. Harlem had its heyday, its rich, strong roots. But not for me. All I knew was what I lived. I lived my roots. Roots that were not planted in fertile soil. Yet, no matter how weak the stalk or how heavy and ugly the soil, there was the unspoken dream that after the heavy rain, the sun was going to come out. The rain would moisten the hard dirt and the sun would make you blossom. Make you blossom like no one else around you. Make you different from the already different. Harlem didn't mean much to some folks. It had a negative connotation for them, but it was home for me. It was sad now, riding through Harlem, not recognizing anything and knowing only a few people. I pass folks, some smile, some sing out. They smile and sing out because they remember me. They say I look the same. They don't. Life in Harlem was hard, and their hard life is evident. All their struggles are reflected in their eyes, their faces. Sadly, I searched through the pain, scars, and bruises from a hard life just to try and see some semblance of the person I knew as a child. Somewhere in that search, there's generally a smile or a mannerism that sparks a chord, and I vaguely remember. Through their faces, I see and remember the life that was really hard in Harlem. I tried to forget. Growing up there, you just lived it. Going back there, you felt it. You felt both happiness and sadness. Happiness for the times and things you remembered as fun. I felt sadness for the many unsuccessful struggles. I cradled a deep sadness for the few who remembered me in such a loving way. A way that I didn't recognize at the time. A love I failed to experience while it was happening. Sad that sometimes they remembered me as a better person than I remembered myself. In all the confusion, I appeared happy because I never wanted anyone to know I was hurting too. It was my secret never to let them see you sweat because it was none of their business. Besides, I should have been able to make it better somehow. So I act happy. I was phony and scared then, so now I really do seem greater. Now I seem not to have been as scarred from Harlem being my home. I never shared my pain with them, so they didn't know. Like my pain, my dreams, I kept a secret too. I kept my dreams secret for fear of others' ridicule. I wanted you laughing with me, not at me. Now I look back and see that my fears and selfishness hindered me. Maybe, just maybe, sharing my dreams would have helped to make them more real or come true. They say pain shared is lessened and joy shared is increased. I know when one of us laughed, we all laughed. I believed, laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you cry alone. Maybe that was why we were all ashamed to let anyone see us cry. If I shared my dreams, maybe they would have shared theirs. Maybe together we could have helped one another. Encouragement is such an invaluable tool in helping someone reach a goal or realize a dream. Visibly, I may not have seemed to be hurt like them, but I was aching too. Then I was torn to pieces inside with the big buck-tooth grin on the outside, hurting so much emotionally, yet never letting them see my pain. If they saw mine, maybe, just maybe, they could have openly shared theirs. I had my own hard times, letdowns, and pains. My suffering was private, yet I had my share. I had my own shattered dreams, seeking to rise above the effects of my Harlem upbringing, my Harlem roots. Hard times can do a lot of damage to self-esteem. Things beyond your control somehow seem to be your fault. Powerlessness for a self-centered child is hard to accept. As children, we are so me or I-centered. Why has this happened to me? Why can't I do something? What did I do? What can I do? What should I do? Me, me, and more me. I wanted my heart to have a big Louis Armstrong smile before I even knew how to make it grin. From my existence or survival in Harlem, I learned how to act as if everything was fine, better than those that I was now seeing, meeting again, reacquainting myself. It was sad knowing that I may have known others better if I had let them know me. We may have helped each other if we had only believed we could. Yet, it was my Harlem upbringing and my Harlem roots that taught me how to survive, how to keep going, how to keep reaching. It was that environment that taught me no matter how dismal life may seem, someday it might be better. When I was young, there was always talk about white folks coming back to take over Harlem. The word was they were there before, and now they were tired of commuting. I never believed it. I always thought, I can't wait to get out. Why would they come back? The truth is, all trains do stop at 125th Street. The truth is, Harlem is awesome. The new revival of Harlem and the restoration of some places like the Apollo Theater offer a glimpse of yesteryear. Harlem is being rebuilt and white folks are coming back. So here it is over 50 years and white folks are really coming back. Much like the Sam Cooke record, it's been a long time coming, long time coming. But I know a change is going to come, and come it did, but not to my benefit. For me, going back to Harlem is sad. It hurts not to have any personal history left, except what you and old friends could remember and imagine. For me, my Harlem is gone, and I won't read the rest.
Wow. Wow. I think that piece just really kind of reminded me, interestingly enough, you know, my kids and I have had conversations about past, you know, and the hardships of past and how do you survive it and what impact does it have on who you are today. And I think that so many have stories, you know, again, of their beginning and that help mold who they are. And, you know, I mean, that piece was so very, very heartfelt. It was, it also reminded me, I have an auntie in Chicago that comes to Seattle from time to time. And I remember sitting on the porch with her when she comes out here and she and I crochet together. She loves me to death because, you know, I'll sit there and I'll crochet with her. And she would tell me stories about sharecropping and what that was like. And putting rocks in the bags and stuff like that. And, you know, and when we went back to Mississippi for the family reunion, because I'm Japanese and German, but my children are black and my extended family are all black. Mm-hmm. And so we went back to Mississippi, to Sunflower, Mississippi, for the family reunion. And, you know, it was something that was new to me. I had not ever experienced, you know, being in a community that was all, you know, totally African-American and, you know, I was the minority there. So I, you know, I experienced, you know, discrimination too, you know, where people wouldn't serve me, which I'm sure was because of my skin color. But going into Sunflower, you know, there's this river, you know, and my uncle's like, my best friend so-and-so was murdered and thrown in this river because supposedly they tried to say he looked at a white woman. Or there was actually still the drinking fountain and library that said for whites only. Or just standing, you know, in the middle of the cotton fields. And just, you know, of course now they've got machines that pick the cotton and just, you know, just wondering, you know, like, how did my aunties and uncles, you know, survive that? But just as you tell your story, you know, about Harlem, it's like, it just makes me feel like I'm sitting on that porch, Lady Blue, and hearing my auntie tell a story of life, you know, and I thank you for that. That's a very, very special, amazing piece.
Thank you. It's really a part of a book that, and that chapter is called The Whole Lifetime Ago, and it goes on and it talks about the old buildings that, you know, how everything's gone, you know, like some kids can go back home and, you know, this is my bedroom, you know. I mean, you know, like the school
right.
that I went to is gone, the old raggedy house I lived in, the store, you know. It's like I don't have no history to go back and show somebody,
wow.
you know, like they'll say, this is so-and-so's girl, the thingamajig's son, you know, that kind of, I don't have no roots, you know. There's nothing to show, you know, where, you know, I was, what was that store called, honey? And my husband, and we both grew up together, you know. I'll be like, it was Neufeld. He said, no, it was called so-and-so. And I'm like, no, but the name of the store was Neufeld, but we called them such-and-such, you know. But it's just like there's no history there. And when they have a block reunion, people that I wasn't even that cool with, they're just so happy to see somebody that they know, you know. It's like, hey, and then, you know, but it wasn't people that I hung with, but it was just so many of us died young, too, you know. I was a widow at 19, you know, so to see us old in the 60s, you'd just be happy to see somebody still around, you know. So it's just different, you know. It's different, and the thing is, I had a girlfriend that said one time she came to a reunion and she saw me, and she was just I had friends in school and friends in the neighborhood, and she saw me. She said she had been coming for years, hoping that she would see me, you know. And it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about us in school and how she always loved me, and it's like I missed that love. You know what I mean? It was like I knew we were cool, but you know. I didn't even feel lovable enough to know that somebody loved me that much and they would come and say, anybody ever heard of whatever happened to Prelo? You know what I mean? And hoping I would come to a family. And I didn't go to that block reunion. The first time I went, they had been doing it for 15 years. You know, and she saw me and she sang out. And she, you know, called me by my maiden name, you know, Marion Prelo, you know. And when I saw her, I was like, Jeanette French, you know. I remember her name and her face, and she looked the same, but a lot of people didn't, you know. And it was like, oh, wow, you know. And you know, it's the school we went to is not even there anymore, you know. So it's just a sadness, but it was like, you know, you just had so much going on and there's so many phony things that, you know, how you had to be tough and act tough and, you know, you didn't want to tell nobody things you wanted to do because it might sound corny and that kind. And I'm just thinking, my gosh, if we'd have learned honesty and maybe we could have helped each other, you know?
Yes,
maybe
but
we could have helped
I hear what
each
you're
other.
Saying.
You know, but
yeah.
we were all caught up in the same box, you know, the same bit of, and you didn't know you were being phony then. It was survival and how you...
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? But when I look back now, it's like there's a phoniness to that. We weren't real. We weren't honest. And
right.
all because we were all scared. You know, all scared.
Do you think that people are honest and real nowadays, Lady Blue?
Not so much. But what I'm finding is that, maybe because I'm older now, but what I'm finding now is that I'll be honest and I'll be real, and whether you accept it or not, it's on you. But I still see it, even in, I'll give you an example. You'll have a Muslim that curse. Meanwhile, you're dressed in your garb, which is it's showing submissiveness and humility and the whole bit, but in your writing, you're going to curse, you know, and then you're going to make it okay with your Allah. Come on, that's phony. But because you don't want to be too good, you know what I mean? Or a minister that will allow people to curse on their show or something and say, you got to go where the people are. No, you got to go and teach people. You know, we're afraid to do what's right and more inclined to do what's popular. You know?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if you've ever noticed me on Facebook, but I hate the flyers that come my direction of women half-dressed, you know, and women posed with their breasts and their butts sticking out and all of this to sell a club event. And I'm like, and I've in a sense tried to challenge the club promoters to ask them why do they do that. And the sad thing is like some of the club promoters that are posting those are women.
Mm.
And I'm like, why do you allow yourself to be viewed that way? You know, I mean, we sit here and we talk about the fact of how we don't want, you know, we want our daughters to be seen, you know, and respected and, you know, not seen as you know, loose women or you know, we want them to be valued for their minds and the quality of their character and all of that. But then you are a woman, you know, posting something with the flyer today that came my direction, you know, is a woman that I've known for years, you know, who's even been to my coffee shop, you know, promoting things with breasts hanging down to her stomach that weren't even covered. And I was like, why is that okay?
I'm finding, I read something Shambé put on, and I don't know, but it was just talking basically about, in a nutshell, sometimes you kind of got to step away and take a break and you know, kind of step out and look in, I guess. You know, I just kind of ran through it. I didn't study his work, bear studying, but I didn't study, but that's the concept I got. And that's how I'm feeling about Blog Talk now. It's like, okay, I got to step away a bit, maybe come back and do my little show or whatever, because I'm not liking the feel of what I'm seeing. And I really like what you do with your show is exactly what I want to do with my show. Like I said, all artists are welcome and no bashing. And, you know, because I want it to be uplifting entertainment. Like I said, I started it for the kids. But even without the kids, I need stuff uplifting and entertaining for my spirit. You know, I'm real sensitive, you know, and I have to guard what I let in, you know, and negativity, I can look back on all the mistakes I made in life, you know. I don't look back as good at as hard at all the success I've had, you know what I mean? So I have to guard against that, you know. I have to kind of protect my heart. And that doesn't make you very popular, I don't think. But I got to be comfortable with me. When it's all said and done, I got to be comfortable with me and know that I represented my God, Jehovah, as best that I could. And I feel like I've been compromising a bit too much on these shows. Like, it's nice when they tell me, you know, I went on a show one night and Robbie Baby, which I appreciated, IM'd me. They get real raw here this time of night, Lady Blue. And I said, thank you, good night. You know what I mean? And then there's something to say, oh, you may want to mute this Lady Blue, and I'll mute. You know, I'm like, no. At home, I don't bother with it. Why am I going to shows where I have to mute so much? You know, so I just decided, you know what? It's backup time.
Yeah.
It's backup time, you know. And
I agree.
You know, they do. Because it's like in the end, you know, I'm like, should I do a piece on this show? Should I be associated with the show at all, regardless of what my piece is, you know? So I've just been kind of down. And I guess the truth is sometimes, too, when you start looking death in the face and that kind of stuff, you start, it puts gives you another perspective on the more important things, you know?
Definitely. And I think that there's so much more to talk about. You know, out there than some of the topics that are being brought up. There's so much more out there. And I have to tell you this before I forget, and I'm so excited, and I hope it actually works out, and I'll definitely make sure that I let you know. Mm-hmm. But my daughter, Tamiko, had a friend come up to Seattle this past week from Jacksonville, Florida. And she's an amazing spoken word artist down there. And my kids kind of gave me a rough time, which I totally understand. So I'm going to send Taryn a message apologizing because I guess I put her on the spot. And instead of being mom, I became Lady Flavor while she was here. And I had her stand up in my living room underneath my Flavor Coffee House stained glass sign by my fireplace and spit a piece.
Oh, wow.
But the thing was, she was willing to do it. So then I turned around and was like, well, when did you get into spoken word? And did you practice in front of a mirror? And, you know, and my daughter was like, Mom, okay, knock the Lady Flavor off. Like, you're not on your show. And I'm like, well, I'm just, like, trying to get to know her, you know. And she was so gracious. She was like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And she was answering all my questions. But it turns out that she works with youth down there in Jacksonville with writing poetry and spoken word. So I said to her, because I asked her if one day she would come on my show.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I would love to and stuff. And so I said, well, what do you think about your kids coming on the show?
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, I will do that. I said, they can come up with their pen names, mm-hmm. you know, to protect their identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can do a show with your kids. So she's like, I love that idea. And so she was going to be working with, she works with them every Tuesday. So
mm-hmm.
she was thinking that maybe on a Tuesday, you know, we might be able to work this out. So I'm like, you know, I have a dear friend in Pennsylvania that also works with youth and writing. I said, maybe we could get her kids and your kids together sometime.
Oh, that would be so awesome, because I just finished up with this group. They're going to do a show on the 21st, and hopefully at the school, but they've changed it. You know, I can't give up the school name, but they've been so unorganized that it's brought tears to my eyes, you know. And the kids were supposed to be doing something, inviting the parents, and now they're going to do it within the school time, and now what was going to be like a half an hour show for the whole school is just 20 minutes because they're scared to bring all the kids together because they've been having such behavior problems. And it's like, oh, boy. And I finished last week, and if they don't want to pay me anymore. So I'm like, well, you know what? These kids need a rehearsal before they go and just do a show, you know, 2 weeks later,
uh-huh.
you know. So
uh-huh.
if I'm talking with my director to see if it's okay if I just go in and have a rehearsal with them, you know, because I had
okay.
to beg them to do the show. And now
right.
I don't know what they'll do now that I'm not going to be there anymore. So, but something else will come up, you know, because, that, you know, I get to go into different schools, though. But
right.
a few of them, I'm sure I could even probably call them and get them together, you know. But for your show,
okay.
I
will definitely
pick them up.
I will definitely let you know if I'm able to work this out with Taryn or not.
Yeah.
But we have another caller in on the line, so let me bring them in. That's okay. So, caller from the 303, you're on the air with Lady Blue and Lady Flava.
303 or 313?
That's so money.
It's so money.
Hello,
did
everybody.
You enjoy
hello,
listening
Lady
to us
Blue.
Talk?
Yes, yes, yes. Peace and blessings to the room.
Peace and blessings to you, dear.
Yes, I've been enjoying
the
sight this week. Like you, Lady Blue, I need to get a face.
You pulled me.
You know,
today.
Lady Blue has this. She has this personality that makes me want to just sit with her and just talk. I think I could probably
yeah.
totally forget about all of you
yeah.
in the chat room, and I'm so sorry, and just talk with her. I just want to talk to her about life, you know? I just, you know, I just, man. She's anti-blue, so it's like, come on. But, Bomani, I have to tell you how much I have so much appreciation and respect for you. And,
yes.
you know, your support of who I am and what I do and what I try to do. And, creating these wonderful intros for my variety of shows and stuff like that. Thank you so much for your support in all that I do.
You are so ever welcome.
Yeah, and you don't even have to ask him for help. He just helps.
He does.
He just helps. Yeah.
Okay.
So are you going to bless the mic?
Yes, I am. This is something a little bit working on. I figured I'd drop it here.
Okay.
It's called American Dream. Neon campfires glow across the staring ghetto. Gorillas are in the milk. Caravans follow trade routes. A chicken and barbecue wafts in the air. Dead presidents become passports on roads to nowhere. Eyes glare at those that don't give a damn and those that have forgotten how to care. Bricks and steel killing a jar of forgotten stand within the shadow. Locked in a maze, becoming a tomb, walking in the day. Many unable to enter life's womb. Black is the blood glistening in the moonlight. Flowing from the nameless, snuffed out by the shameless. Heaven and earth moan from sea to polluted sea. The branches are cut off from family trees. Others live and die. American dream and apple pie. Mississippi is proliferated. Watergated, wiretap, stun guns out. Get mold in Abu Ghraib, Iraq, Afghanistan, nuclear India, and Pakistan, and ancient Iran. Does anyone know how long the eagle can soar in the sky? Downsized and distracted, economically protracted, 911 without active 411. Fired on and lied on. Globally warned and folks on hold, 12-round fight, civil rights and human rights. Outsourced American resource, we the people contemplating divorce. Consumerism, money made, prison, subliminal television, credit card derision. Economic decline, just a mailbox decision, Babylon wine carried to take the plastic. America, ultra fantastic. Dematized, spiritually denied. Economic bailout, fat cats got their hands out, middle class got left out, and the poor continues in a one-act play. Weapons of mass deception, artificial inceptions, Ponzi schemes, and painfully green eyes in the sky, GPS, bomb drugs, and crap. Terrorized and terrified, is 2012 the next Heartbreak Hotel? It just ain't what it seems with American dream. What's in the air? Truth. American
Nightmare.
Wow. What is that called? The American?
American Dream?
Yes.
It ain't what it seems, huh?
Right.
Nightmare.
Yep, truly, pie in the sky.
And you know what? It's just the sign of the times that we live in. You know, and every day it is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah,
it really
absolutely.
Is a nightmare. And when you and you, when you talk about
nobody wake up.
Somebody got bailed up because the rich get bailed out, and poor folks still get left out.
That's right.
Nothing changing. And it is what to say that the further we go, the behinder we get. It's just new. It's just new wrongs. That's all. Just new wrongs. Ain't nothing getting right.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah,
definitely.
I was thinking how people were talking about, you know, when I did that piece, the NF Solutions. It's like, you know, even when we talk about revolution and change and inequality, people got to change. Their hearts got to change because, you know, we just be transferring the negativity. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like it's not really doing away with the greed and all that kind of stuff. It's just going from one group to the next, you know, and it's about really doing something to with your heart condition, really getting some kind of spirituality in there and some kind of true... excuse me, brotherly love going, you know, And
well,
not
and the thing
in terms
is,
of genders, you know, or in terms
right.
of races. I'm just brotherly love for real, you know.
Definitely. And the thing is it starts with us, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and even if it's just this little group that gets together on Express Your Flavor, you know, I mean, as long as we, you know, hold ourselves to a certain standard.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy it. I love it. This makes it worthwhile for me to do it, and you know, you just never know. Somebody else might come along and say, you know what, I like the flavor that's going on over there, and join on board. I mean, it's just who I am. It's just what I honestly feel, and you know, I talk about this all the time. You know, that to me, I feel like through the arts, we can break down those barriers. You know, people of all, you know, groups can join hands. That's why I'm so big on, you know, no pieces that bash any particular group of people. You know, that's why I talk about, you know, the language, you know, being used and stuff like that, because I think that we're so much more than that, and we just don't give ourselves enough
yeah.
credit, you know. And I was talking to my son, you know, about the fact of, you know, the promoters that use the half-naked women. He said, you know, I think that they just lack creativity. It's easy to stick a woman up on there on the flyer because it's going to catch people's
mm-hmm.
attention or whatever. And I'm like, you know, that's just so sad, you know, to me. But mm-hmm. as long as we accept that, it's
Hello.
Going to continue. And that's
yeah,
why I speak
go.
Up against
you
it.
Said, you yeah. just said the magic word. That's right.
As long as accept
it. It's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to reject it. Absolutely.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And the thing is, it's like everybody doesn't have to, as long as you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And
I mean, yeah. And I think that, like with you, Lady Blue, people know that you do not want to participate when it comes to certain pieces and stuff like that. That, you know, I appreciate that respect level. I agree with you. It shouldn't be like to the point where you're like having to mute yourself continuously throughout a show. You
yeah.
know, but at least people do recognize. The fact
well, that's what
that,
someone said, that
they,
you do get
that
respect.
That.
And I said, yeah,
mm-hmm.
but that shows the sign of the times, too, because let me tell you, well, you know I was a bad kid, okay? But even I
right.
did not get cuts in front of grown folks. So even though they're giving
right.
me that respect, when I was coming up to show you how we've progressed, you didn't let grown folks know you even wanted to cuss. You know what I mean?
I know.
So it's a level of respect that I do appreciate. But I'm looking at that in terms of how things have changed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best I can get now. You know, the best
right.
I can get now
right.
in this system of
exactly.
things. You know, but
I know,
I'm at
I,
a point I, now that I'm like, do you want that? You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I just won't be bothered. That's why the day when you said that, I was like. Thank you so much.
Oh no, I love the fact that you say it on your show. I'm like, I'm kind of, you know, piggybacking off of you because I totally feel you on that. It's just so unnecessary.
Yeah.
It serves no purpose. It shouldn't serve the purpose in other people's worlds, but you know, they allow it and they accept that, so they
well,
just don't have to come this way, you know?
Sinapolis, I think it's Sinapolis, but I just call him Sinap. I don't even remember what the whole name was. But
oh,
he told
no,
me one
time. Yeah, Snap.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
He told me one time, he said, you know what's going to happen? He said, Lady Boo, you just keep doing what you do. He said, you know what's going to happen? He said, you're going to wind up having the people that you want there. And that's
right.
what's happened. Certain people don't come
go.
To my show. And he told me, he said,
you
know what's going to happen? You're going to get the crowd that you want, you know. And that's what's happened, you know. And he told me that a long time ago because I tried to struggle with it. Then I said, I can't do it. I don't believe I'm stifling creativity. If anything, you're an artist. You can your creativity will come in changing it, you know. And I think
right.
I'm helping you enhance it. And I heard Eric do a piece. He did it on my show, and it was awesome. And when I heard him do it on another show, I was like, ooh, I love that piece. I heard it. It was totally different. I said, oops. You feel like that on my show. But I guess you have to do what your audience, you know what I mean, what your audience
right.
calls for. I just don't want to entertain that kind of audience.
Right.
Right.
And even like, you know, when my open mics at my coffee house were adult open mics, but from time to time, like somebody would show up with their child or whatever, And that was all good and stuff. And so, you know, when that happened, you know, the artist, you know, knew if there was a child. They're very good in scanning the audience to see who was there, and you know, they would adjust their pieces. So I do think that I do give credit to the artist that had that capability of being able to switch up a piece just depending on who the artists are. But before we go any further, we have another caller that's been on hold for a while. The caller from the 843, you're on the line with Bobani and Lady Blue and Lady Flava.
A very good evening to everybody, and that is a very distinguished panel.
Hello, Verbal.
Hello, isn't it? And look, and you add to it now.
No. No, I'm just a peon among those fools. I'm just a peon.
So what are your thoughts about what we've been talking about, Verbal?
Well, my thing is this. Language is language, and maybe in certain areas there is a time and a need for it, but when you are out in the general public and you're supposed to be representing your repertoire of vocabulary or knowledge of the, you know, working language, whichever language that should be, you don't need all that. You don't really need it. I mean, you know, you just don't need it. Now, if you're spitting erotica pieces in a venue and they expect it, that's one thing. But when you're out in the open public and you want the whole world to see you, you know, you got to do, you know, in my opinion, is you got to come out with your best stuff. And that's basically it.
Absolutely. I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and I think that it's, you know, it's not that I'm not a fan of erotica.
But it
there's very,
even
very few
know,
people.
But
when I,
even,
when I, I'm just.
But Lady Flavor, I mean,
you know
what really gets me. That people, a lot of people who are poets and call themselves wordsmiths, word technicians, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they have a very limited vocabulary, and it's kind of disappointing, you know, when you hear people and the extent of their vocabulary may be, you know, 11th, 10th grade. And you can hear that in a lot of their rhyme schemes, you know, and
well,
there's
see,
a lot
that's
of...
That's why I don't write.
Hmm?
I'm at a 12th grade level with my, you know, my words. So.
But most papers
no,
are 8th grade.
But when people are getting into rhyme schemes and rhyme patterns and stuff like that, they're very simplistic. And that's almost like, you know, it's almost crazy. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying all the poets are like that or all the spoken word artists are like that, but I think what happened when spoken word became popular again, anybody and everybody thought they could write good poetry and speak good poetry, and that's not the case because it's quite evident that you have a lot of people out there that do not know what poetry actually is, and they're biting off people who they've heard or seen, and they try to sound like them, and that's, you know, they regurgitating the BS, you know.
And I would agree with you on that. I do think that there are people out there who try to mimic it and play off of somebody else's style that don't necessarily, you know, have it to be creative enough. I do, though, Verbal, believe that there are different levels of poetry that serve a purpose and have a value. I know, like you like the big words. You know, when I listen to you, I have to pull out my dictionary, which is good, you know, because I learn, you know, new words that I, you know, that I don't know. You know, but then I do think that even, like, somebody like me, who's the simple 12th grade education, I think that even, you know, if I wanted to push it, you know, my pieces serve a purpose too, yet they would be definitely considered very simplistic.
Well, and that goes to about, you know, you were talking about acceptability and people, what we accept. And mm-hmm. in a lot of cases, you know, well, I'm just go ahead and say it because I'm not the type of person to hold punches. It seems like the readership are not want to think. Avid readers like to learn something when they read a book, a novel, blah, blah, blah. And when you have an author out there who doesn't stimulate your reader's mind in one way or another, I mean, you create readers who do not have to think. And that's a travesty. In this country, there are almost 18 million men, black men, who are considered illiterate, who cannot read a story to their kids. That's a tragedy. Just think, if you're a spoken word artist and you can reach the masses, if those people, I mean, that's a market that you could tap into. And one way of showing them is showing them the beauty of the language.
Definitely.
And that's what I try to do.
I agree with
I try to do
that. So with that said, so, Mr. Verbal Skills, are you going to be kind and spit a piece for us? I mean, I was going to put you on the spot.
Lady Slave.
And, you know, and I just want you to know, we do have Spicy on the line listening, so Spicy's up next, so, and Spicy, your line is open. But, you know, yeah, Verbal Skills, you know, I can always play one of your pieces if you don't want to spit one.
Well, for you, Lady Flavor, I will spit a piece, and this is a very short one.
Okay.
And it's called, well, before I do that, I just want to say to Lady Blue
mm-hmm.
that she told a story maybe about a couple months ago, and that story still resonates with me when she was telling the story about one of her students that said, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to misquote her, and she said her student said, "My heart is my best friend," and another teacher tried to correct her, and Lady Blue stepped in and said, "Oh no, don't correct that. She meant what she said."
Oh, and we were drawing. Okay.
And, you know, that story in itself, I mean, to think a little girl could consider her heart as her best friend, that is deep. That
yeah.
is totally deep.
And I think
deep.
It was either first or second grader, we drew hearts and had them, you know, say what was on their hearts. And we would usually just pick words, and then we would take the words and have them, you know, make up a poem. And the little girl said, "My heart is like a friend." That's what she said. And the teacher said, "Oh, you have friends in your heart." And I said, "No, that's not what she said," you know, because we would have just wrote friends and that would have been one word. But she said, "My heart's like a friend." And I just thought that was so awesome because I thought about, you know, the stuff we eat and do to our hearts, and it still, it just tries to hang out with us to the bitter end no matter what. And when it quits, it's like it has no other choice, you know. And I just thought mm-hmm. that was such a nice concept. My heart's like a friend. Yeah, I love Blue.
Well,
too.
I just want to thank Lady Blue once again for what she does. And also, I'm going to, Bomani, your other guest, he is a very multi-talented and incredible young man. I know he's a mature man, but he's young because the things that he do. And Bomani, thank you for sharing. I just wanted to take the time, you know, and say your work is appreciated. You know, many people don't get a chance to really know that you're a producer, a writer, a musician, the list goes on. I can't name everything that you do, but you do it very well. And you've been doing it for a long time. And I just want to say thank you, you know, take this opportunity to say thank you.
Thank you.
He's so modest. He just lays back in the cut, the cool guy. See, that's mellow.
I'm going to do a quick piece brought back to mind when you were speaking of Harlem. I wrote a piece a long time ago. See, I'm from Detroit. I grew up in the area called Black Bottom.
Black Bottom?
That's what it was
called.
They
had a Black Bottom in Philly, too.
Yeah, well, this was Black Bottom in Detroit, I think. Probably originated probably in Detroit.
Okay.
And, this is a black enclave. It was connected to Paradise Valley. Anyway, I did a piece called Black Bottom. It's short. She was there, stretching out the dark chocolate mixed with caramel. She danced on John R. and Canfield with ivory colored teeth and black gums. Body beam, color of brass, vibrating like steel spring. That tickled more than the beat. This girl that was dusty dawn, she was the moon that took away the sun. She quickly became my mother. It reminded me of old people.
Hello, can I interrupt? I can't hear it. Somebody's got a lot of static. I think you probably need to close out the rest of us. I'll mute myself so that we can hear him.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
You want me to repeat that?
Yeah, I want you to do it over again. I couldn't hear.
Okay.
I'm going to mute myself out so I can hear you.
Okay, it's a short piece. I wrote this a long, long time ago. Like I said, I grew up in Detroit in an area called Black Bottom. And it's entitled Black Bottom. She was there, stretching out the dark chocolate and mixed with caramel. She danced on John Owen Canfield with ivory-colored teeth and black gums. Body gleaming, color of brass, and vibrating like steel string that tickled more than my feet. This girl that was dust to dawn, she was the moon that chased away the sun. She quickly became my morning glory and the end of that. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, could y'all hear it?
It was like kind of faint. I think I'll have to try to go back and listen to it.
I got pieces of it because you kind of put it into like a piano, the ivory and the tickle, I got pieces of it.
Yeah, I got pieces of it too. I don't know why that is. I
don't know whose line
it is. Lady Blue, you really picked up the whole thing.
I did.
you did. It was about a piano. It wasn't really about a woman.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. I'll have to go back and listen to the archives because, I heard about the chocolate, and the ivory keys and this and that. So, okay.
Tickled me. Okay.
I'll go back and listen to
the
archives.
Do you play the piano, Bomani?
Yeah, so when a musician, all right, well, let me give you a little history. I took formal Spanish guitar lessons beginning at age 9. I did that for about 2 years. I had a problem because the guitar that was bought for me, the bridge was so high, it was killing my fingers, to try to press the string down to the fret, And I was getting frustrated. I loved the sound of Spanish guitar because of the polyphonic sound.
Mm-hmm.
But, I kind of faded away from that. And from there, as I advanced into my teen years, rock and roll became the thing. And I picked up electric guitar, and I would play with a buddy of mine. We would do house parties and those little things that was relevant to the day, And little things like that. My first exposure, though, was at age 5 to a drum set. This belonged to a musician friend of the family. And I was obsessed with drums. You know, anything I could beat on, pound on, I was doing it. drove my family nuts. You know, but they refused to buy a drum set. They said, no, we can't take that noise. So in between all that, I kept fooling around. And in my teen years, I began to pick up piano, a little bit of organ. I'm a tinkerer more than anything else. Mm. I can't read a lick of music. I can't. You know, I've been trying to teach myself here lately.
Oh, wow.
But I just have an ear for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
No different than Barry. A lot of people don't know Barry White couldn't read music either.
A lot of musicians can't.
that didn't stop
they play by ear, yeah.
You know, it didn't stop him from composing or explaining to someone so that they can, you know, put what he heard to make it audible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All kind of in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice, very nice.
Yes, yes. Oh, I
well,
okay, Mr. Verbal Skills, are you going to do your piece now?
Ozzy.
Yes, I will do my piece now. And this is a brand new piece. And it's coming from my book, one of my books that will soon be released. This book is called Visions of Elastic Rainbows. And the name of this piece is I love, and for Lady Flavor, there aren't any big words in this.
Lady Blue Tooth.
I got
Lady
my dictionary. I got my dictionary right here, Verbal Field.
Okay. I love. I started the day as I ended the night in love, loving her. And I am the sky, and she the wind. I have no sorrow, no regret. I sipped her essence and she held me like a golden chalice. I gave chase and still she waits. She kissed me and found my soul, taking it for her very own. And I found the infinity of time, never caring if night never comes again. She has feasted upon my heart, never was I hungry. I am the sky, she is the wind, the music which gives life. I, the instrument, I started the day like I ended the night in love, loving her, and that's that piece.
Aww. It's very endearing.
Nice way to start and end the day. I said it's a nice way to start and end the day.
Well, you know, whatever your flavor is, whatever you... No.
For it for me, okay? I'm going to claim it, okay? Make Lady Flavor Day.
But see, this is the thing. You cannot have or achieve anything in life unless you have a love for it, unless you have a passion for it. Because if you don't, it's like buying a car that you don't want. You're not going to take care of it. And for me, writing, I love it with a passion. I love it with a passion.
Very obvious. Yeah.
And I can't think of anything I would rather do than, you know, be writing. And it's like anything, whether you're a revolutionist, or, you know, a conscious poet or whatever, if you don't have that love, if you don't have that love for it, it's going to show in your work. And your work is, you know, to be well received because they can see the lack of the commitment to it. And that's all I try to do in my work.
I feel you. I know that it's something that you're very, very passionate about. And it is, you know, you can tell, you know, when, you know, you read a story or a poem or hear you recite a piece, you know, you can tell that you're very passionate about what you do. So before the show runs out, I mean, we're down to 9 minutes left of the show live. I want to bring Spicy in. Spicy, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting so long. So what's going on, my girlfriend?
Girl?
Spicy?
Yes? Hi, Verbal. Hi, Auntie.
Hey, baby.
Hi, Spicy.
I'm not sitting, Verbal.
Say that again, Spicy.
I'm not spitting a piece.
You're not.
Are you not spitting a piece?
No, ma'am.
Are you not spitting a piece?
No, ma'am.
But she wanted to come in and talk about that, what we were talking about. She had something to say.
Yes. It's just a... Have mercy. It's just like... So many, like, Eric was seen in his interview. Because even the rap today is not their own. Because they don't write their own lyrics. So a lot of times, if they can't pronounce or a cuss word comes out, and a lot of times, that shows up of your own intelligence. It doesn't bring forth the real fruit of you, which is from your heart. That's why a lot of times they'll someone, and I understand Lady Luke a lot. If you cut it not only of education, it shows up to only you and the other elders that are family. And that's a real look for you as a person. You know?
Right.
I agree. We have to set the examples. You know, like I heard one of the, that I don't remember who said it, but they were quoting one of the famous artists, and they were saying how, you know, you have to talk to people on their level, and you know, and come to them as they understand it. And I think it's an insult to think because you're black and poor that you got to be cussed at in order for you to understand.
No.
You know?
See,
in order for you to feel it, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
And I don't believe that's true. I think it's an insult. And what happens is it gets perpetuated because you keep bringing that to them, and it becomes acceptable and it becomes the norm, whether it's right or not.
Auntie, see, that's how they shoot acts in the street. And they don't take their street behavior. And they're predicting it as their whole persona. They're not taking it as, yes, they got an education. See, if you want someone to treat you right, treat them right first. Don't assume nothing because you ain't making no behind out of me. You only making a butt out of you. Because I see more than you. Any day, I can put you a person just normal kind of words. And, matter of fact, because I hit my aunt up on Facebook, she didn't even know because my so-called sister, wounded sister, told her to tell her, but she told her I wouldn't accept her as a friend. And I said, well, I told her the reason behind it. I said, now see, if the shoe on the other foot and was going between me and my sister, if it was all on me, she was never known about because it's my sister. She thinks she's gonna get in good. I'm stirring it up. It's not, so I had to do but in the meantime, if you don't know what I'm doing and you just kind of find out what I'm doing, don't pay judgment on me because you think I'm just cooking money off the government. Although I might, because it was my fault, I do work my film out. Don't chastise me if I didn't, not yet. And that's
right.
What she's doing. Chastise me because somebody else thinks I own some. I don't get to the squad. Yellow and die.
You said you ain't got to do nothing but stay yellow and die.
Ma'am.
Tell me to stay black and die.
I got it. It's yellow. Because I'm teetering on the brown, so I'm yellow. And it seems sense. Is the way you treat others is the way they treat you. There should not be no perception because if there is, that's on them. That doesn't mean that you don't understand big words or what a mediocre words. That is on them. How you care yourself in your home is how you care yourself in the industry. It's really cool in the way in court. I don't blame them for acting as if, but in the same sense, this person acting a fool in the street should know what they're and be cool on at the same time. There's no, you don't go forward in the next country, but that go the other way. Make my a fool you want to be. Unless you're a teen agent, and you still trying to sell yourself out. I was a teenager and knew who I was. But come on, let it go. Kind of clean your teeth. Yeah, if you don't want to see your teeth, ages no more.
Well, I think that, you know, I'm so sorry, Spicy. I didn't mean to cut you off. There is only 1 minute left remaining in the show. And Spicy, I'm so sorry for the things that you experienced and the treatment. You know, that you endure, you know, from certain people, whether it be family members or outsiders, because that's so unfortunate. And I think when it comes down to being poets and being able to use words, I think that people really, really forget how powerful words are. And words can either uplift you or they can tear you down. You know, and I think that, you know, one of the things like Lady Blue was stressing today is, you know, when it comes to poetry, you know, and poetry, you know, I mean, like Lady Blue, you know, I've decided she's a storyteller. And, you know, the way that she tells a story or the way that you, Spicy, use your words, it's a way that touches people. It's a way that people can reflect and think, you know, has something like this, you know, affected me or, you know, like your piece that you have, Spicy, called Anger, you know, or whatever. It's a way of, you know, being able to just reflect and say, you know, this makes me feel good. Hearing these type of words makes me feel good. You know, other people going in a different direction and using other kinds of words. You know, I can't imagine that it really is something that they're very proud of. I mean, I you know, that's just me speaking. You know, so the people that use those unkind words with you, Spicy, you know, I know it's easier said than done, but you just hold on to the fact that you are an absolutely amazing, loving woman, and you give so much to so many people. I read that piece early in the show today, Spicy, that I had sent you, that you pushed me to write. You know, and I told Lady Blue, you know, and everybody that, you know, you pushed me to write it. And I appreciate the fact that you're so hard on me because you scold me so tough, you know. You know, but, you know, and in that piece, it was kind of me expressing, you know, for some frustration in who I am and what I do for artists and stuff. You know, but it was a healthy form of expressing. And I think that people need to understand there's a way of expressing frustrations, you know, and the choice of words that you use. I'm not always good at it. I'll be honest. I'm going through menopause, and I flash big time, you know, lately. You know, and I was like, can I find me a menopause mentor, you know, because I need it right now. You know.
I've been going through my whole life, so join the club, child. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Say that again,
Spicy. I am going through menopause. No, I haven't seen nothing yet. I've been here menopause yet.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, I, you know, not, you know, I don't want to use menopause as an excuse, but, you know, I know that my tone gets harsher, you know, and stuff, and it's, but I know, you know, I realize after the fact when I react very harshly, you know, towards my kids or somebody, you know, that man, you know, I try to explain to him, please excuse me, I'm going through menopause, you know, can you look it up online so that you understand this, you know, but even at that, the impact of those words is not cool, you know, and so I think that we do need to be mindful how powerful our tones are, the words that we use, and how much the people who are writers of words, how much, you know, y'all can have an impact on how somebody's feeling, you know, because even like when I read certain books, you know, especially like urban fictions and this and that, I'm like, oh my God, you know, like, why do you write about this kind of stuff? Can you write about something that's uplifting, you know, that comes out of the hood or whatever? Can somebody like fall in love and have something healthy, you know, or whatever? But, you know, I mean, that's just the power of words and the power of who it is that,
Give a
you know,
solution, a way out. You know, we all had hard times, or even if it wasn't hard, if you were a kid, it was hard to you. You know what I mean? When your mother just didn't let you go to a certain dance or something, you might not have wanted for food, but as growing up, you just don't seem to have it right. You know, somebody's always trying to spoil your fun or whatever. But I think if you write an angry piece because you are angry, it's good to get it out. But I think in the rewrite, you know, and I think most good writers rewrite, but at any rate, in the rewrite, I think some of that anger should subside. But if you keep perpetuating that, you keep reliving the anger and resentment. The idea for me with my kids is to help them to get it out so that they can move on, you know, but not
right,
so that you can
right.
stay stuck in it, you know, like my daddy raped me, my daddy raped me, my daddy raped me. How many my daddy raped me poems are you going to do? You know what I mean? Tell me
right.
how you got over your daddy raping you. You know what I mean? You know,
right.
or somebody doing something mean to you. Tell me how you got past that. You know, you can let me know it hurt you and
right.
it was painful and angry and what it led you to do. But how do you get over that? You know, how do you get past that? Because it is done. You know, it is done. And if you keep carrying it, you can't go on with your life.
Definitely. So with that said, I guess I will close out the show. I think that before I actually close out the show, Spicy, is it okay if I play one of your pieces?
Okay,
so I'm going to play Miss Spicy's Ree's piece that's called Strange Fruit, and it's recited by Queen Ifama.
Oh, okay. I don't have that one. I got anger.
Thank you. Peace and blessings, everyone. This is Queenie Fama, the truth terrorist. It's raining, storming, strange fruit. I received this poem, this piece, by a little sister I call my niece, Spicy. Name is Janine Lynch, otherwise known as Spicy. She wrote a piece called Strange Fruit. I want to share that piece with you as the rain pours down, the thunder roars, the lightning cracks. How the rain of anger slammed into our face from the fan with hot air. Enraged at my own because of the chatter, and nothing is being done. I am tired, frustrated, and angry at you. Captive in a country that had a use for me, but now that I am free, I am still captive. Captive, they say, is null and void. All lies in my story. You never valued me for a person or an entity of my own. How can you have one set of rules for you and the other set for me? But you state me as being wrong. 'Cause it's your policy to have a hidden agenda. Agenda that some might say is awkward, but more than most, I was that secret weapon you found comfort in. Question: have you ever hidden me so far, far beneath that skin of yours, a tone that has not been tainted with yet? The one you thought was a purity, one that needs a history lesson from a biblical standpoint. In recent winds, a spirit of my brother and sister spoke to me, saying that this has happened long before this attempt at killing me off. How does this affect you? It began to affect my dreams in such a way that I felt the need to put on blackface or eyes becoming Masa. I guess never got over seeing a man of color getting beaten for no reason. My brother, you asked me to join a cause you put all your faith in, but now it looks as if it has gone astray. The funny thing is, we see it every day in the streets. We are never saving those from the aches and pains. The strange fruit is still hanging from that tree. How has this fruit gotten to you? In these days, I feel for my brothers and sisters. This is the last days of us coming together in such a manner because of color. See, you told me about those seven trees, the ones that bared the many fruits, fruits that wore arms and legs. A strange rain had come from them that focused on rouge, dangled in the midst of fire. Drip, drop. Drip, drop, as I focused on the seedlings, watching the next fruit play in the symbolized water that cast many shadows, tarnished, overripened, and swinging in the breeze that called death. A name that I thought I could get used to, but I can't. A pastoral scene of those who told my childhood into a young adulthood. As I watch it, It spoke to you. A hint of magnolia passed my way. The dwindling with a southern soft breeze. Pastoral scenes saw from the bulging eyes and focused on twisted lips. Crisp, clean linen on the line. Antiquity spattered spots of me that linger in the mist. For my fruitage speaks to the hearts of my younger kindred spirits. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the leaves to drop. Here it is, a strange and bitter crop to watch as my tears drop, drop, drop. And brothers and sisters, that was by my niece, Miss Spicy. Da-da-da. Put it in some words in only my voice. I wanted to read it to you and share it with you and hope you like it. Strange Fruit by Sister Janine Lynch. Hope you liked it. This is Queenie Fama, the Truth Terrorist.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody that came out, you know, tonight and hung out with me, whether it be live in the chat room or just listening live. To those of you that come back and listen to the archives, this last piece that you heard was by My Dear Dear Friends by CB, and the wonderful, wonderful Queen of Fama, just putting a voice to the creativity and the words and storytelling of Spicy. Spicy, I want to thank you for calling in tonight and sharing. And again, my dear friend, I am so sorry for the pain that you are feeling, you know, due to the unkindness of other people and the power of the words that they use against you. So just know that there are people that love you dearly, you know, mm-hmm. and I send you big hugs and kisses all the way from Seattle, Washington to New York.
And I'm sending them
and then
to
Lady Blue
New
and
York,
to Bomani.
Yes, I am.
You in New York, Spicy?
Yes, ma'am.
We're in New York.
I'm on an island.
No, oh, okay, because I'm like, wait a minute, I get to New York a lot. All right. I didn't realize you were in New York. Okay. Got to call you the next time I come up there.
Okay.
Definitely you should. But, you know, again, Lady Blue, you know, thank you so much for sharing this time with me and sharing your wisdom and your stories and just, man, I and Drew, you know, this is like a continuous journey for me with all three of you that are on the line with me right now. And, you know, even though I've known of all of you for some years, I am enjoying this journey. It just continues, you know, and I'm just so enlightened. And I feel so very, very blessed, so very, very blessed that I give thanks for the three of you, you know, hanging out. And I give thanks for Verbal Skills calling in and Down South Georgia Girl, Courtney, you know, being in the chat room and all of that. I'm so very, very blessed. And please know, I do not take this for granted. I do not take this for granted at all. And so, you know, Bomani, you know, my darling, you are just, man, an inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, when I feel sad, all of a sudden you pop up with something for me, and I just like, man, you know, that's a godsend for me, you know, and I appreciate, you know, your continuous support of what I do. One of the concerns that I'll put up before I close out the show, one of the concerns that I have out there, and I put it on the Flavor News Society page, is because Ning is turning into a paid site. You know, I've been trying to get some feedback from people whether they feel like it's something that's worth continuing and if it's something that I should try to find a way to keep it going. I did start a site, I want to say it's called Spurs or something like that, so FlavorNewsSocietySpurs.com. Quite figured it all out, but they're welcoming all Ning, you know, prior Ning users over there. So I do have a page over there. But I'm just wanting to really honestly get some feedback from, you know, the people that have joined the Ning page. And if they feel it's something that is worthwhile continuing, or if I should take my take things in a different direction in how I continue the support for the indie artists and all. And so, I definitely would like to hear from anybody who is a part of the Flava News Society page. They are starting the process of deleting the pages, and I believe it's by July 1st that they plan on having all the free sites down. So anyway, I just want some feedback on that. And then pretty soon I'm going to be updating my newsletter again, which will be the 15th of this month. And so if there's anybody that wants to put an advertisement into the newsletter, please send me an email at admin@flavanews.com. And even if you're interested in being featured in the newsletter, I welcome that. So contact me at admin@flavanews.com. So again, Bomani, Lady Blue, and Spicy, thank you so much for the love and support and hanging out with me tonight and making this a special evening for me. And
thank
I just
you.
Wish all three of you a wonderful evening. Alrighty. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.